88% of the respondents, women, said that they want to be in a leadership position at some point in their career.
Welcome to Ambition Theory, Women in Construction. This show asks questions that everybody is thinking about but doesn't want to say out loud. It's about tackling complex topics like, why are there so few women in senior leadership positions? What is it going to take to change this? Each episode is a combination of motivation and tactical strategies to get ahead. We get out of our comfort zones and we take action. We learn, grow, and create opportunities. I am your host, Andrea Jansen, a certified executive coach with an MBA, and since 2018, I've coached over 1,000 construction professionals to level up their leadership. Let's get started. Ambition Theory partnered with the National Center for Construction Education and Research on Building Better, a Women in Construction study. A lot of women in construction initiatives celebrate the contributions of women in the industry, which is very important. But this episode aims to take things a step further. We are focused on ways to take action and drive real change. Tim Taylor, the Director of Research for NCCER, joins me on the podcast today to dive into the results of the study and talk about what we learned about it. I can't wait to share this episode with you. Every time we ask our clients, what else is needed to help make the construction industry more inclusive? We always hear the same thing. We need men to get involved. They need to understand what it's really like for women in the industry. But whenever we speak to men who want to be better allies in the workplace, they're often not exactly sure what they can do to help. And that is why we came up with our latest free training, How Men and Women Can Create Opportunities Together. In this three-part series, we dig into the differences between transactional and transformational leadership. We look at why we need sponsorship versus mentorship. And we discuss how to build more inclusive cultures. Most importantly, we share practical ways both men and women can start making change within their companies right away. To access the replay, go to ambitiontheory.com/together and please share it with the women and especially the men that you work with. Hi, welcome to Ambition Theory, Women in Construction, Tim. I am so excited about this partnership that we've started between the National Center for Construction Education and Research and Ambition Theory and the work that we're doing together. And I'm honored to have you on the podcast today. So before we dive in, I want to talk about how this began. So a couple months ago, I was interviewed on NCCER's podcast, The Builder's Table. Jennifer Wilkerson invited me on, and we had this connection about women in construction and changing the industry. And I remember she said, after we stopped recording, she said, well, we're working on some research right now. And my eyes lit up. And she said, Andrea, you need to meet our research team. And we connected, I think it was probably October, November of 2022. And the magic started to happen. So can you take us back to that meeting and just talk about how this started?
Yeah. So we just started, you know, getting to know each other. What are you all working on? What are we working on? We were focused more on women in the construction trades. And so as we were getting the results from some of that, there were needs for some of the leadership types of training that we saw in the field. And we learned about the work that you all were doing and some of the research that you had been involved with. And we kind of just kept having a conversation. And we said, well, let's try to do something together. Let's come up with a collaboration idea. And so that's what produced what we're getting ready to talk about.
I love it. And I think from our perspective, we had this desire to do quantitative research. That was really important to us. And I think of what we learned and what we uncovered. And I look back thinking, if we had done this alone, I don't think we would have gotten as much in-depth information as if we did it together. And that's what I love about this collaboration is that what we were able to uncover is exponentially larger than I think anything like Ambition Theory could have done on our own. So I appreciate that so much about this.
And I agree, as we were, obviously, we were more responsible for analyzing the data and doing the quantitative aspects, but without y'all bringing your insight into what we were seeing, it really helped develop the richness and pull the results out of the work that we did.
So what was the work? Let's talk about, I want to talk about that now. So one thing we wanted to figure out is we really wanted to answer the question, like, what does it take to get women to advance into leadership positions? And are women advancing at the same rate as men? Like, we were pretty sure they weren't, but we wanted some data around what was happening. And we wanted to really uncover, like, what can we do about it? What are some tangible actions, specifically our perspective, that organizations can take? Because we know there's been a lot of actions, a lot of programs specifically for women, lots of recruitment for women. But where do we tackle this from a cultural perspective? That's what we wanted to figure out from Ambition Theory's perspective. Can you talk about what you wanted to figure out from your side?
Sure. So one of the things that we were interested in with the focus groups that we had done was, you know, one of the buzzwords now just in industry overall is flexible work options. As we're coming out of the COVID pandemic, people working at home, remote work locations, what does that look like? And in the construction industry, there's, you know, it's a concerning thing because they see all these other industries that are able to offer this. And it's kind of hard to weld on an industrial construction project from your living room. So how can the construction industry respond with work flexibility? So we were really interested around that. So what we ended up doing was we put together a survey that we worked with Ambition Theory to develop. It was a real simple survey. I believe it had about 12 questions in it. We distributed it through both of our networks. And we made the decision that the survey was going to be targeted to women who work in the construction industry. And we were interested in women that work in all different aspects of the construction industry. So what sector do you work in? So we heard a nice representative sample from industrial construction, commercial construction, infrastructure, and civil construction type of work, a little bit from residential construction as well.
I love it. So yeah, we had almost 800 people respond to our survey. And the feedback we got on social media was, I remember before we even closed the survey, seeing people say, like, I feel so validated by sharing these voices. I feel so heard that someone's asking my opinion. And I feel so honored that I can be a part of this solution. So I think even before we started, the uptake from the industry was, I think it exceeded our expectation, because I think our original goal was like maybe 100 to 200 responses.
Yes, I remember thinking if we could get 100 responses, I would be blown away. And we ended up, as you said, with 770 responses, which is an amazing number. And as we go through this data, you'll see that the richness, we asked open-ended questions, which I want to give a kudos to all the folks that completed the survey for us, because when I've asked, I do a lot of survey work. When we ask open-ended questions, we never get responses. But for this survey, we received a lot of detailed, insightful, open-ended responses. So in addition to the 770 folks, you know, one of the nice things about Ambition Theory and NCCER working together, we're obviously focused on the craft professional, the field side of things. About 250 of our responses in this survey were from women craft professionals, which was, I'm proud to say, was the largest number of responses. But we also heard from site management. So the foreman, general foreman, superintendents on the project, we received information from the folks that were involved in operations. So engineers, accountants, finance, and then the administrative side of things. So any sort of accounting support, any sort of marketing, the human resources within the construction industry, we got a really nice diverse sample. We also had a good diversity in the responses in terms of the age range. We have skewed a little bit towards folks that are a little bit more experienced in life. But sort of our most frequent response was in that 35 to 44 year range, but we also had good representations from other sides of it. In terms of the years of experience within the industry, once again, the most frequent response that we heard from were those women that had 15 or more years of experience. But we also had a nice representation of people that had been in the industry less than a year, couple years and then on up through that. Again, a really nice distribution in terms of that.
And so what we wanted to ask really at the end of the day, we wanted to really figure out what do women want? Because we know there's a lot of recruitment efforts to bring more women into the industry, but what we haven't seen is a lot of initiatives that encourage women to stay and grow their careers long-term in the industry. So there's this kind of assumption that's been made that if you bring them in, they will stay and they will advance and to the highest levels of leadership at the same rate as the men that are in the industry. So that's kind of been the assumption. And we wanted to see, is that true? My hypothesis was that it wasn't, that women are not advancing at the same rate as men. And really, what is it going to take for us to keep them? So that is what we really wanted to focus our survey on. And we kind of used the Lean In Women in the Workplace report as our kind of guiding light, as our inspiration for this survey that we did. And Lean In and McKinsey have partnered for the past 8 years on this report, this survey, very robust on what is the state of the workplace for women in the US. And the kind of like the big theme from their 2022 report was that 49% of women leaders said that flexibility is one of the top three things they consider when deciding whether to join or stay with a company. And Tim said that was coming up in your qualitative focus groups. We've been noticing flexible work happening in our society. And so we said, you know what, we need to ask a lot of questions about this to figure out how can we crack this nut in the construction industry. And we asked, like, what is happening for women in construction? Like, do they want flexibility? Are they getting it? Like, what is the benchmark? We wanted to know. And I want you to talk about some of the qualitative responses we got.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll get into some of the quantitative data here in a moment, but we also asked some open-ended questions. So we had a question that was, you know, what does flexible work mean to you? And one of the responses that's representative of several other responses is, ha, hilarious. You would ask this in the realm of construction. I would have to leave my field to get a flexible schedule. So when we asked people, okay, well, does your company offer you a flexible work option? Do you have four individuals in your role? And the responses to that sort of overall for the entire 770 responses, 54% said, yes, my company does offer a flexible work option. 46% said no. So that's pretty close to 50-50. But then when we start breaking it down into the different job classifications, the results were not too surprising. So if we look at what we would define loosely as the office environment, so the people in operations, engineers, project managers, 62% of them said that they had flexible work options. If we look at the administrative, which is finance, accounting, things like that, 73% said that they had a flexible work option. However, when we go into more of the field positions, the results, as you would expect, only 35% of craft professionals indicated that they had a flexible work option. And only 44% of that site management indicated that they had flexible work options in their role.
And what we found, we asked some more questions about this flexibility piece. We were like, this is interesting. I'm kind of stumped. Like, what is going on? We really had to ask ourselves, do women in construction really want flexibility? And we asked a bunch of questions about like what people want when they're looking for a job. And Tim, can you take us through what we found?
Yes. So, you know, the construction industry is concerned about, as we talked in the beginning, that can we offer flexible work options if everybody wants them? It's hard enough for us to get folks now to come work with us. What's this going to look like? So we asked a question, which was, when you're considering a job, what are your main factors that you consider? And we allowed the respondents to choose from five main factors: salary, benefits, the flexible work option, a clear career path, or the work-life balance. You know, I'm balanced between work and life. And so what was interesting with that, with our survey that is different from what we received from when we look at sort of the McKinsey report and industry in general, is that the number one factor for why these women said that they considered that they were looking for a position was work-life balance. It was overwhelmingly the most important factor that they identified. The least important factor that they identified was flexible work options. So, and then salary, benefits, career path sort of fell within the middle of that. So we kind of took a step back and said, well, that's kind of surprising. That's not what we expected. And so we wanted to sort of see, well, what women are really saying that they want is work-life balance. And obviously that is related to work flexibility, but this work-life balance, you know, and we got some responses here in the more open-ended questions, you know, what does work flexibility mean to you? It says the ability to function as a leader and as a parent. You know, I've got my responsibility at work. I have my responsibility with my family. I want to be able to perform well in both of them. I can be successful and still take care of my family. Once again, this work-life balance coming out. And then being able to request time off when I'm sick or when somebody's sick without being penalized for it, not being reprimanded for having to miss work because something comes up with my family, not feeling guilty whenever I have to take care of personal matters that don't fall on the weekend. So this idea around I'm dedicated at work, what we're doing at work is important, but also my family is important. And so one of the questions that we asked was around this work-life balance was around, are you comfortable? How comfortable are you when you need to request off of work because of some sort of a family emergency? And of the total respondents to the survey, so all 770, 45% indicated they were either uncomfortable, hesitant, or only comfortable sometimes asking for a work schedule adjustment. If you're involved in the construction industry, we long hours, you know, projects have to run because of the economics of them. That's something that really popped up. But then we also saw a difference between the field environment and the office environment. So based on our experience with some of the field data that we've collected in the past, we asked, have you ever faced disciplinary action because you've had to miss work for a family emergency? And only 4% of the women that worked in the office indicated that they had faced disciplinary action. However, 25% of the craft professionals indicated that they had been placed in a disciplinary action because they had to miss work for a family or for a family emergency.
So what does this all mean, right? Because this is a lot. We thought, you know, people want flexibility, but actually what they need is work-life balance. And I think the biggest takeaway for me from these stats that we uncovered was that work-life balance means something different to everybody. And it's not necessarily a one-size-fits-all approach. And it's really allowing that schedule flexibility and those options and helping people to feel comfortable about like going to their manager and asking like, how can we make this work without having to go and have that conversation from a place of fear? And I think for actions, if you're like, okay, this is interesting, it's not what I thought, if you're surprised like we were, one thing I would love for you to do is to really go and first off, get curious with yourself and really ask yourself, like, what does work-life balance mean for me? And then also, if you are in a leadership position, or even if you're not, actually get really curious with your team and every single team member. They don't have to be a woman. It could be anybody. And really get curious about what work-life balance means for them and start having those conversations. Because that's where you can kind of open up that space to be creative around how can we make this work? When I started Ambition Theory over 5 years ago, I knew that if we genuinely wanted to make the construction industry inclusive for women, that change needed to start at the top. But 5 years ago, nobody was ready to hear this message. Something has shifted recently, though, and it's really exciting. Organizations are reaching out because they want us to do a presentation for their leadership teams, and in some cases, the entire company. They see that up until now, the burden of change has rested entirely on the shoulders of women.
If this message speaks to your association or company, we want to hear from you. Visit ambitiontheory.com/book-a-call to learn how you can book a presentation for your organization.
So I think one of the things that jumped out to me with this is, in some ways, these results are encouraging to the construction industry because we've been really concerned about, oh, can we offer flexible work options? And everybody wants flexible work options and we're not able to provide it. And we're going to have to get really innovative to try to address that, or we're going to lose people. Well, this shows a different message. As we said, we were surprised. Work-life balance was the number one thing. So work-life balance from a field standpoint is, I know when I'm going to start work and I know when work is going to end, and I can plan my life around that. Or I know if overtime is going to be optional or if overtime is going to be required. I can plan my life around these types of things. And if you're in a leadership position, if your company is talking about work-life balance, set the example. Because there are many organizations that talk about the importance of work-life balance, but it's a marketing strategy, whereas really it is how you get ahead is by, you know, FaceTime at the office and FaceTime at the project and sort of talk to folks and see what this means and look at your own example of work-life balance and the example that you're setting for others in that.
I love that action, Tim. Those are such great takeaways. So thanks for sharing that. The next part of our study was really figuring out, what do women want? Like, what is it going to take for the industry to provide the environment where women are excited to work in the construction industry, excited to invest their time and build long-term successful careers within this industry? So what we found was, number one, women want to be leaders. And Tim, I want you to take us through what the numbers said and how we can confidently make that statement.
Yes. So one of the questions we asked was, would you like to be in a leadership position at some point in your career? And the responses were that 88% of the respondents, so I want to highlight that again, 88% of the respondents, women, said that they want to be in a leadership position at some point in their career. And if we break those numbers down a little bit more, approximately 30% of them indicated that they were in some type of leadership position. So most of these are women saying, hey, at some point in my career, I want to move into a leadership position. And we also asked, do you understand, you know, what you need to do to advance your career? And so 76% of the respondents said that they have understanding about, you know, if I'm looking at how I'm going to move my construction career, I understand what I need to do to advance it. And once again, this is folk, women in the field, women in the office environments, okay, are indicating that they know what they want to do. And so then we also asked a question that was sort of a select all that apply. And this question was, at work, I have someone that, and then there were several different categories you could select, but some examples were, teaches me the technical aspects of my job, teaches me about handling difficult situations, shares their expertise with me, helps me in my current role, shows me the ropes of the job. And the responses that we received from that was very positive when we went through and looked and said, okay, we are seeing that women are responding, that they are receiving support within their current role. So when we asked them, you know, what do you need? What would you need to help you sort of advance your career? And so here's one of the quotes from that, which was, just a little more redirection in the routes that I can take to further my career. So, you know, I feel pretty good. I just need a little bit of adjusting. So what do we see that is actually happening? So that's a positive picture, right? Well, we also asked the respondents, have you had a woman supervisor or manager during your career? And 72% responded that they have either never or rarely had a woman manager or supervisor during the course of their career. And the vast majority of more than 50% of these respondents said that they've never had a woman supervisor. Okay. So that shows a disconnect, right? We've got 88% of women that want to be in leadership. We've got 76% that say they know what they need to do in their career path. But we've got 72% that said they've never had a manager. So if we look at sort of, okay, well, what would help you advance in your career? Well, if I get invited to the same meetings that my male counterparts attend, or being provided with opportunities for growth, which you can interpret as saying, give me one of the harder jobs to go try and prove myself. I want more opportunities to do bigger work. As a woman, I get pushed to the side to do smaller tasks, and it's almost like I can't handle working on the bigger tasks. And so we also asked a question that, just like the one we had before about sort of your current position, we also had a question that was at work. I have someone that I can trust completely, has put their reputation on the line for me, assigns me high profile tasks, makes introductions to influential stakeholders. And the responses that we received to that question, which is more around, what do I need to do, you know, for my future career? There were much fewer women that indicated that they were experiencing those types of behaviors. So really what this is looking at is, we as a construction industry are doing a good job in sort of preparing, supporting women in the current roles that they're in, but we're seeing less progress in terms of moving them into future points in their career in leadership positions. And Andrea, I think you have an explanation for this.
Yeah, and this is something, Tim, I remember when you showed me some of the preliminary data, I was like, Tim, I have been trying to explain this for 5 years and you have just quantified it. So I kind of knew that this was happening, but this work together really helped us to really clarify what is going on and put language around it. So if we go back to the first slide where we ask questions about, I have at work, I have someone that bolsters my confidence, helps me in my current role, encourage and validates me. Those are all mentorship behaviors. And when we designed the study, I really wanted to know, are people getting mentorship or are people getting sponsorship or are they getting both? But the thing is, sponsorship isn't part of our everyday language. And most people don't know what that word actually means. So what we did is we figured out what are the behaviors that are mentorship behaviors, which are really supporting women in their current role. So giving them that advice, giving them preparation. And if you listen to our podcast, there's lots of episodes about the value of sponsorship. But then when we ask those other questions, like someone has put their reputation on the line for me, provides me with high profile visibility opportunities, those are all sponsorship behaviors. And the real difference between mentorship and sponsorship is skin in the game. So someone can give you advice all day long. They can support you in that current role. But if we really want to give those opportunities to women to advance, if we want them to rise into those leadership levels, what they really need is sponsorship. So they need those opportunities to grow. They need those opportunities to be put in that position, maybe before they're even ready, so that they can learn that skill and contribute at that higher level. And sponsorship, the model of sponsorship, in when I talk about skin in the game, that senior person who is putting their reputation on the line, giving the woman or that person that job that they've never done before, if they do a really bad job, it actually looks bad on that person that gave them that opportunity. But the cool thing about sponsorship is when you open that door, when you put someone in that place and they do a really great job, it looks good on you as well. So it's this idea where in mentorship, there's really no skin in the game for the mentor. It's about giving that advice, but really that onus to find the opportunity is on that junior person. Whereas in a sponsoring relationship, the opportunity is shared, the risk is shared, and the reward is shared as well. And other research that we've seen outside of the construction industry has shown that women are typically mentored, men are typically sponsored. So, and really the intention is not bad. It's usually out of a great intention. This idea that, like, we want you to be successful. So we want you to be prepared. So when that opportunity arises, you knock it out of the park, you do an amazing job. and we want to protect you from failure. Whereas for men, the behavior is really about let's put them in that position and they can learn it as they go. And the beautiful thing about sponsorship is that sponsor, they have skin in the game. So if something is going wrong, the sponsor can kind of step in and help them out or really encourage them to keep going or have their back and kind of help them manage the politics of the situation to ensure success. And I think this, I love this finding because sponsorship is such a tangible way that we can move forward and take action. But I want to go back to the numbers, Tim. Can you share what we found about how these behaviors are showing up today?
Yeah. So if we look at sort of, we asked some questions, as we mentioned before, around mentorship and what sort of behaviors do you see? And then we also, you know, had some other behaviors that were sponsorship. When we add all those up in terms of what, once again, 770 women in the construction industry across all sectors, across all different roles within the industry, the sponsorship behaviors are happening half as often as the mentorship behaviors. So on one side, it's really good that we as an industry are doing well with that mentorship, that supportive environment, because if you don't have any mentorship, I think Andrea would agree with me, your sponsorship's not going to do you any good. So this is the next challenge before us as an industry, is to look at those future opportunities through sponsorship.
And the challenge is that we have been told that the answer to really getting more women into the construction industry and helping them rise to leadership is mentorship. There's a lot of mentorship programs out there, and that's really what we've been told. But the truth is, sponsorship is the answer. And the exciting thing about this is that the biggest barrier to this is our mindset. So really what it takes to shift from that mentoring relationship to that sponsoring relationship is, instead of thinking like, what support does this person need to be successful? It's just shifting your mindset to what opportunities are available and what opportunities can I create for this person to ensure mutual success of both of us, me as a sponsor, you as the protege, but also to bring value to the company, because really helping people rise up, helping them leverage their strengths, bringing that to the table, it brings a ton of value to the organization and to the company. So really at the end of the day, it's all about that shift from advice and preparation to opportunity and advancement. And now I want to talk about taking action, because we talked a lot. We shared a lot of data today. So from my perspective, I want to encourage people to really think about really where are you today and really think about what opportunities could be available to the people that you work with and how can you open the door for them? So I want to leave people with that action. How about you, Tim? What's kind of like the biggest takeaway for you that people can take back to their company and start to implement right away?
Yeah, for me, I think out of this section of the work, the thing that you could immediately take action on is thinking about your own mindset, particularly if you're a guy and if you're in a leadership position, sort of thinking about that mentorship and sponsorship difference there. And as Andrea mentioned, what we're often doing with our women that are coming into the industry, it is well-intentioned. We are trying to do good things. It is, you know, there are certainly barriers there. We've made good progress on this, but sort of thinking about, well, what sort of opportunities do I give to the men in my organization? And what sort of opportunities do I give to the women in the organization? And how do I give them? In my own experience, I think many times with the men, it's, okay, Tim, we're going to put you into this foreman position and it's going to be really hard. So you better buck up. You better do really well with it, or you're gonna fail. And we're gonna be here to support you with it. But you know what? You're just gonna have to. It's gonna be hard at first, but you're gonna have to get past it. Whereas with women, where they've been historically underrepresented within this group, it's more like, okay, we've got to, Andrea, I'll use you as the example. Andrea, we're gonna move you into a leadership position. Before we do that, we've got to get some training lined up for you, because we haven't had very many women leaders, and so we want to have you all set up for success. So we've got this training we want you to do, and this training we want you to do, and we want to get you all prepared so that when you move into that position, you're fully confident and you're prepared and you're able to be successful. And what that ends up doing is the rates of progression that we talked about earlier, that's what's happened. So I think the first action if you're in a leadership position, or if you think about sort of your own experiences, is that mentorship and sponsorship coming into play in how you move people forward and the opportunities that you give them?
Awesome. I love it. So Tim, I know NCCER has worked on another study. Can you talk about that one a little bit?
Yes. So back at the beginning of March 2023, we published our work, which is, in her own words, improving project outcomes. And within the construction industry, the craft professional workforce, we have been in a shortage now for going on 10 to 15 years. And so what all of industry is experiencing right now coming out of COVID with workforce shortages, the construction industry has been in for a while. And so if you look at women right now are 50.5% of the population. If you look within the construction industry itself, what percent of people in the construction industry are women? It's 11 to 14%, somewhere in there. But if we drill down even farther into women working as a craft professional, it's less than 4%. And so this is an opportunity that the industry has missed out on. And many times we think about it as, we don't have enough people. If we could get women coming into the industry, we would have the numbers of people that we need, which is a partial truth. But also, women bring unique skills and abilities that men do not bring. Women think about things differently. And so what we did was, we went out and we did focus groups with 176 craft professional women in the US and Canada, and ask them questions like, what unique qualities do you bring to the job site that the job site misses out on when you're not there? And so, for example, the women observed they're much more team focused, meaning that the men that are out there, I want to see how many feet of pipe I can put in today, whereas the women are like more focused on, how is our crew doing in terms of meeting the crew objectives? The focus on safety, the attention to detail, all the types of things that we need for projects to be successful. And so we went out, we collected that information, we published a white paper that highlights those results. It's got resources in there, it's got strategies that you can use. It's available on NCCER's website. If you go to our research section there, and again, it's called In Her Own Words. I think it's a very powerful document. So I would encourage everyone to go out, read it. And if you look at it, if you have questions, please feel free to reach out to me.
I love it. Thank you so much, Tim. And one thing I realized I don't think we mentioned in this conversation so far is our quantitative research was US and Canada. And we got a representation from all provinces, all states. So it's a very robust sample size. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Tim, and for being a part of this collaboration. I think it's just the learning that we're doing together. It's really exciting. So is LinkedIn the best place for people to connect with you?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn there. Happy to connect and happy to talk with anyone about this work or any of the other work that we're doing.
Awesome. And we'll put the link to the report, In Her Own Words, in the show notes. So it's at nccer.org. Thank you again so much, Tim. It's been a joy to have this conversation today.
Same here. Great talking with you, Andrea.
Hey, before you go, I wanted to take a minute to read a review of our podcast. This review is from SSPCL123 from the US, and they say, "Fantastic. I have been absolutely loving this podcast. It has been motivating me to be a more reflective and engaged colleague." Thank you so much for that generous review. We really love hearing from our listeners. And I'm wondering if I can ask you a favor. Can you take a minute and leave us a 5-star review and a comment on Apple Podcasts? That really helps us to get the word out so that we can keep making episodes for you for free. Thank you for listening.